We're continuing in 1 John chapter 2. We're still in verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know, and because no lie is of the truth. So he's telling them, I know that you know the truth. And you also know that no lie, no false teaching is of the truth. See, we're not in politics. In politics, the foundation of politics is always compromise in a democracy. It has to be, because everybody doesn't agree. You have to give and take. But when it comes to the truth of God's word, there is no compromise. Those who compromise are false shepherds. Much of the ecumenicalism is nothing but false doctrine. People giving up sound truth to get along with so-called Christian brother. That is heresy, false doctrine, and it leads people to hell. God does not alter the truth to suit anybody. So John wrote not to basically correct the Antichrist, the false teachers, as he would not cast pearls before swine, the sinners that had rejected the truth already. The apostles corrected those they sent letters to, as Paul did. But once they were rejected, and remember John said they left us because they were not of us, he wasted no time with them. He dealt with those who remained and those that were faithful. As the apostle Paul himself said, you warn a heretic, a false teacher, 2 to 3 times. And after that, it says you have nothing to do with them. You don't fellowship with them. If you're forced in society to be social, you do, but you have no spiritual relationship with them whatsoever. You recognize that they are of the devil. They do not represent the Lord. So he was wise at this. People today are not wise at this. They have no sound understanding of God's principles. He doesn't strive with people 30 and 40 and 50 years that's rejected the gospel. There's no such teaching in Scripture. I know people who keep going at people, who mock them and everything. There's no place in Scripture for this. I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm saying the person wastes their time with them should be giving it to people who are interested in the truth, and don't waste your time with these kind of people. Jesus said, leave them alone. I think he knew better than anybody. He said, leave them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. They'll both fall into hell because they both are believing lies and they don't want the truth. So we're not talking about people who are open to correction, people who are questioning and don't know. We're talking about mockers, and people have already made up their mind. Oh, I've dealt with many of these in the past. They believe their false doctrine. And while you try to talk to them, they're waiting for you to be quiet so they can keep giving you another false interpretation of Scripture. And when you give them 10 and 20 sound Scripture, they go run and look for one Scripture taken out of context because they're not open, because the Holy Spirit is not giving them wisdom or knowledge. They're spiritually destroyed. They've been cut off, and they cannot see the truth because the Holy Spirit's keeping it from them. And we'll see that is the principle. See, there are so many out there trying to represent God. They don't know the God they're representing. It's a false love and a false God they're projecting. Jesus the Christ will be the great judge. He is the one who's going to consign the multitudes and most professing Christians to hell. He'll tell them, you're cursed. You have obeyed my Father. He's the judge of the wicked. The Lamb will be the judge. Okay, we need to understand that. God's patience and grace does have an end. We see this with Noah. We see this with Sodom and Gomorrah. Enough's enough. And then when people try to repent out of fear, he has no place for them. That's why I don't believe in many, very, very few deathbed repentances. Many people, when they're dying, they live the wretched, selfish, self-indulgent life. And because they're afraid of dying, they're grasping for straws. But see, a person cannot come to the Lord whenever he wants to. The Spirit has to draw him. And he said his Spirit will not always strive with men. See, he knows them. He knows what their motive and intent is, and he doesn't play the game with them. The principles of Proverbs still apply. It's the word of God. Those who mock God and don't receive his instruction, he says he will mock them in their time of fear. See, when he judged Israel at the last minute when the judgments began, they cried out to the Lord. And he said, I don't hear you. When I've rewarded you double for your sins, then I'll deal with you again. And he wasn't talking about individuals. He's talking about the nation. Many of the individuals, thousands, were put to death by the enemy when they took over. So if we're going to minister the gospel, give the whole gospel. But see, people don't have what Paul expected all Christians to have. They have no fear of the Lord. They don't understand he's not their little daddy that'll forgive everything they do and wink at everything he does. This is nonsense. It's a devil gospel that's preached, and many people love it. See, they want a Santa Claus God. And the Jesus they preach is not the Jesus that's going to be the judge of the universe. And the majority of mankind is going to be consigned to the lake of fire, and it's the Son of God who's going to do it, okay? So we have to remember this in the dark times we live in. So John was not correcting the Antichrist false teachers. They had left him, like he said, because they weren't of us anyway. So these were like Judaizers. It wasn't like they were true Christians. Now, some of the Judaizers who were like young Christians, they were fooled. They may have truly believed that Jesus was the Christ, but they kept caught up under those who misled them. But the main teachers of the Judaizers were false. They did not really accept Jesus for who he was and his words. They tried to mingle and mix it and compromise it, but they put the law, circumcision and the law of Moses, above Christ. That's what made them of the Antichrist spirit. So the Antichrist spirit was present during the apostolic times. It's not changed. It's just going to increase in volume and numbers around the world. So there will be an individual person, Antichrist, who will basically be a world dictator for a short period of time. And he will deceive most of the world. He will deceive them because he'll have a false prophet who'll come with all lying wonders, and the devil will so inspire him that these people will gullibly believe him because they have no truth in them. See, they refuse the truth, and this is what happened. Been there many times. See, preachers should be preaching this one quite often, but they don't because most preachers are cowards and compromisers. They haven't discerned the times we live in. The majority of our teaching and exhortation should be warnings and admonishments because of the wicked, dark times we live in. But see, they're Pollyannas, but they're going to answer to God, and they're going to be deceived with the people they are deceiving. Second Thessalonians. As I've said before, Christians should read this often. It's where we're at, and it's going to get worse. And then the Antichrist will come on the scene. But it's not going to be all of a sudden it was a bright, sunny day and now it's dark. It's building up to this. It's like, as we've said, a woman, she's pregnant. So we're in the seventh or eighth month. But ultimately, in the ninth, when the delivery comes, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene with strong demonic powers, and the influence of the body of Christ will be gone. There will be no restraining force. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 through 11. The coming of the lawless one. Notice the lawless one. They added this because that was their interpretation of what he was talking about. And what did Jesus say to most professing Christians? You are workers of lawlessness. You don't hold God's word of truth. And yet you say, Lord, Lord. Well, he shows us what he's going to do with these people. The lukewarm, the carnal, the worldly, the same things will happen to them. Okay. It says, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Who is this Lord? This is the Lamb of God. this is the Son of God. He's going to destroy them. He's going to speak the death sentence to them. Fire and death will proceed. And that will be it. See? He's the judge. Father has committed all judgment to the Son. And he's going to take care of it properly. And then set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. Okay. And so he says what? He will come. That was verse 8. With the working of Satan. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. The word all here is important. See? No false prophet. No person under the influence of the devil is going to arise that the devil is going to give so much power to. Oh, we've had wicked people, Kublai Khan and Hitler and Stalin and Mao and those three in our generation. But there's been a multitude of kings and wicked people and generals who've killed and murdered for their own glory. They're not going to touch on what the Antichrist is going to do. The devil's going to give him all the power he's capable of giving him to lie to people, deceive people, and convince them. And he's going to succeed as a whole, okay? And with all unrighteousness and deception, verse 10, with all again, that all's important here, among those who perish, they're perishing spiritually. In this context, he's not talking about the ones who will be destroyed. As we've said, swift destruction is what the apostles said to those who rebel. When people backslide, when people take up a gross sin, swift destruction. The Lord said, repent quickly. They don't stay saved for 5 and 10 and 20 years while they live in their gross sin. That's the lion shepherd telling these people this. Paul made it very plain. You practice these things. That's your habit. Then you don't have God and you're not going to heaven. He meant no words with them. Okay, so all power and deception. And why is he doing this? The scripture tells us. Because. For that reason is what because means. There's a reason for it. They are totally deceived for what reason? Because they did not love or receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. As a whole, the apostles saying that they're going to be given the gospel and they're going to reject the gospel. See, isn't that interesting? Didn't say that they didn't know anything and the poor ignorant people never heard anything. It implies here that they were given the truth to save them and they didn't want it. See, they did not love it, abide in it. They despised it. They rejected it. And so God turned them over to further strong demonic spirits to make sure they were damned. See, that's God's intention. See, people, they should read this. It'll give them a healthy fear of the Lord, that he's not a Pollyanna, that he doesn't play with people. He's an awesome God. He's not changed. And as Paul and the apostles taught, the fear of the Lord, as even this proverb says, is the beginning of wisdom. And to hate evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord means you obey the Lord and you become afraid to set against him that he has awesome judgments for those who will turn their back on him. He did this to Israel. Remember, he spoke audibly from the furnace on top of the mountain to the whole nation. And it scared the people so much they went and asked Moses, tell him not to talk to us anymore. You talk to us. And God said, I did it for that very reason, that you would be afraid to turn against me. Well, the principle still applies. So if people don't have a proper fear of the Lord, they misunderstand God, they misinterpret him, and then they find out when it's too late at the day of judgment what's going to happen to them, see, because they emphasized he was such a Santa Claus. Oh, he wouldn't harm nobody. He'll find a way for me. I've heard ministers teach that. Oh, God will always say, I forgive. There's no such teaching in Scripture. That's the general word of God. He'll receive anyone who comes to him. But those who harden themselves, resist the Spirit, play with his grace, they can blaspheme the Spirit where he can withdraw and says, I'm not messing with this person no more. Apostle Paul, what did he say? He said, God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will harden whom I will harden. It's not God's nature to harden people who've not resisted him. See, it's God's nature to be gracious to those who receive him and seek more and want to be corrected and instructed. Those who despise his word, he automatically, eventually, will harden himself toward him. It's his nature. Don't waste no time. As Jesus was saying, leave him alone. He was talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders who thought they knew so much more than the common Jewish people. They may have known a lot in their head, but in practicality, they knew nothing. And they were damned, and they were seeking to kill Jesus while they believed that Jehovah was their father. And the Lord said, the devil, Satan, is your father, for you're a murderer and you're seeking to murder me. See, he told them what they were. And for this reason, come back, because it's the because again up there, they did not want the love of the truth. So because of this, not only are they perishing and cannot be saved, and they're under great deceptions, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie. See, they're not going to believe the truth. And the spirit of truth backs up and says, I'm not messing with them. And the demonic spirit says, oh, we'll have a heyday now. They have no power to resist us because they have no protection from the God of truth. See, we can captivate them at our will, and that's what they're going to do. And it says what? It says, for this reason, God will send them a lying spirit, strong delusions. That's what it is, deceptions. For what reason? That they should believe the lie. See, God is that way. He's the overall economist. Those who reject the truth, he not only withdraws the spirit of truth, he sends as a judgment the lying spirit to them. A lot of these people today don't believe that, oh, it's the devil, it's not God. See, they don't want to attribute this to God. God attributes it and takes credit for it. He is the holy and just one. He's never changed. Where there's mercy and grace, he can show it. When they spurn it, he'll show them the other side. See, he's always just and holy. Mercy and judgment have kissed. They don't cancel each other out. They're in perfect agreement. So when he extends grace, as he did during Noah's time, for 120 years, and Noah got no converts out of the community, and God destroyed all of them. And the scripture says God shut them in. He shut the wicked out, and I'm sure they were beaten on the ark. I'm sure they were believers when it started flooding, and they remember what Noah said was going to happen. Oh, they were believers then, but it wasn't kind of belief that led to salvation. Paul says, worldly sorrow, worldly repentance or sorrow produces death, but godly repentance produces life. See, many people are afraid because they're caught. As people go before a judge, they're often afraid. They're not repentant. They're afraid of the consequences and the judgment they're going to get. But if they could have got away with it, they'd keep doing it. See, they reveal there's no real heart change. So those who have earthly sorrow, see, again, these are people often that die on their deathbed looking for a minister, looking for someone because they are afraid of dying. And they instinctively, many of them know that judgment's coming. They mocked God. They didn't want the things of God. They were afraid of what their families thought. They were cowards. They loved pleasures. It's too late for them. That's what happens to people. It's nonsense to say that a person gets saved anytime they want to. I've heard idiots say, oh, if a person jumps off a building and he says the sinner's prayer for me, he'll bounce right up into heaven. What kind of demon do you think was inspiring that teacher? Okay. And verse 12, not only that they should believe the lie, once they believe the lie, which is the total consequence of these things, because they're rejecting truth, that they may be condemned, judged, or damned, who did not believe the truth, see, not only believe lies, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The pleasures of sin for a season. That's the main reason people, the masses reject the true gospel. It's as Jesus said, as a whole, men love darkness rather than light. They love a lie rather than the truth, because if they love the truth, they have to come to it and let it reprove them and correct them. But he says, as a whole, people won't do that. But people are responsible. Doesn't say they cannot do it. He says that just proves that they're wicked, and most of them don't want to do what God requires, and he leaves them alone. So the majority of people don't want the gospel, and if it's given to them, they reject it as a whole. And this is the truth of how God has moved throughout the world. Is it God's fault? No. Because every sinner at some level has knowledge of the truth. He has nature itself to reveal the awesomeness of the Creator. He has a conscience until he sears it. And later, those who are given the full gospel. All of them have been given grace. But as a whole, when men see the light, they start to run from it. As I've said often, they remind me of roaches. If you've ever been to a place that has roaches, middle of the night, just turn a light on. And you'll see hundreds of them run in every direction. And within a half a minute, you will not see a roach anywhere. See, because they avoid the light. And yet the Christian and those who are open, they're to be as moths. What do moths do? You turn on your porch light in the summer, and all of a sudden, within a few minutes, you'll see hundreds of moths and insects that like the light. They don't avoid the light. They come to the light. So this is what is going to happen to them. Because, again, they didn't want the truth. They didn't love the truth. That would have saved them. God gave them demonic spirits. Perfect example, King Saul. God tried to correct him for several times through the prophet Samuel, through his word, and warned him. And he kept rebelling. And the Lord had enough of him. And he was at one time the Lord's anointed. God anointed him to be king and recognized him. And it says, and the spirit of Jehovah left him. And an evil spirit from the Lord, the word translated is from Jehovah, terrorized him. See, he did the same thing he's going to do to the world under the Antichrist. He is going to send. He's going to withdraw the spirit of truth, and he's going to send demonic spirits to do their job. They do that because it's their nature to do that. See, he raised up wicked nations against Israel to punish them. See, he took it upon himself to use them. At other times, the angel of the Lord, in one case, God's angel came down and killed 186,000 of the enemy. See, he can do whatever he wants, whatever way he wants. It's righteous judgment. He can do it himself through good angels, or he can send demonic spirits to accomplish the same purpose. See, that's his prerogative. So compromising teachers and ministers, cowards and people that love to please people, will partake of the lake of fire. The first sins mentioned in the book of Revelations, those sinners to be cast into the lake of fire, the fearful and unbelieving, that is, cowards and disobedient. That's what it means. See, they're afraid of God, afraid of people. They want to please people. They don't want people talking about them. They don't want to be persecuted. They compromise the gospel so they can have a standing in their little church. They compromise so they can get more numbers, where if they preach the sound of the gospel, most of them wouldn't last too long in the times that we live in. So the apostle said, if you serve man, and he meant first, you cannot serve God. Much people calling themselves Christians and many organizations and denominations, they do a lot of outward good works and service, and we call it humanitarian things of good works. It's not true good works. They're cowards. They're disobedient. And as the Apostle Paul said, they cannot serve God. See, people who think they can bargain with God, who thinks that, well, my good will outweigh my bad, they're going to be totally shocked at the day of judgment. See, I've known people, I've counseled them over 40-some years or more, and I'm astounded at them, but then I come to the place I'm not. They're underlying spirits. They'll do lots of good. I knew one man who, I would say, a multi-rich person the time he lived, and he supported missionaries. He gave, he told me, I had no reason to disbelieve me. He gave 20, 25% of his income, and he made lots of money. Okay, but he didn't do what the Lord told him, but he told me. He said the Lord kept telling him to get rid of his money and do this and do that, and he wouldn't do it. And I told him, I said, well, I don't understand keep doing this other stuff for, because it ain't pleasing God. It's hypocrisy. I was astounded. The man offered to pay my way to college, go anywhere I wanted to go, do this, do that. And the Holy Spirit said, don't trust him. And I told him, I said, the Holy Spirit tells me not to trust you. And then he told me the full story. And I was sort of astounded. He ran a huge nursing home. He took in missionaries that their own denomination and church wouldn't help or do anything for them after they spent 10 or 20 years on the mission field. He put them up. So he did these good things. But as we've said, James says, he that breaks the law on one point is guilty of the whole law. His sin was the sin of idolatry and covetousness. See, morally, he was a good man. Took care of his family, took care of his neighbors. He did all kinds of, he was like the rich young ruler. I believe he was morally upright that way. But all it takes is to have an affair and live in immorality, or to murder somebody, or to continue in some sin that God knows about. And I've had to counsel teachers who were sound teachers and had to tell them, you're lost and you're on the way to hell. They start defending themselves. I said, I don't care if you're the best teacher on earth. You have told me you are living and having an affair for 3 years and nobody knows about it. I said, God knows about it. You're on your way to hell. It disturbs these people, see, because they've fallen for that lie that, oh, well, all of my good will put on this side. No, it doesn't work that way. Those who are not led of the Spirit are led of the devil. So many people start to follow the Lord, but as Jesus said, they endure for a little while, but when trial and temptation comes, they fall away. See, they don't get grounded and do what they're told. Or they get caught up in the world, the flesh, the pleasures of life. And that's why there's a falling away, and there's going to be a larger falling away from true Christians. I'm not talking about the nonsense of these denominations and buildings. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It means true Christians are going to turn away and give heed to lying spirits and false religions. We know as a whole that most of the denominational professing Christians are liars and are on their way to hell because they preach a false gospel, a watered-down gospel. They leave out the foundations of truth. They've taken the word of God, the sword, and beaten it into a spoon. See, they don't warn, they don't reprove, they don't correct, they don't put out of their midst those who won't repent. See, that alone should show you what age we're in, okay? So in verse 22, at the previous verse, he said, no lie is of the truth. 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. He's a liar. Why? Because he rejects that Jesus is the Christ or the Lord. Remember, the scripture said, anyone, John will say, anyone who denies Jesus as Lord is accursed. Paul said, any spirit that denies that Jesus is Lord or curses him is obviously of the devil. He makes it very plain. So the one who emptied himself, the divine nature took on the human form. He had the power of the full Godhead. And then he took on the human form and was limited and what he could do. And therefore, the devil tried to tempt him to use the Godhead that lied dormant in him. But it would have been disobedient to the Father to do it, and he wouldn't do it. But it was a great temptation, because one of the temptations, he went 40-some days without eating, and his body had entered into starvation. He wasn't just hungry. His whole being was crying out, and he had the ability to turn the stones. Remember, their bread was round most of the time, and their stones were round and smooth. He could have spoke to them and turned them to bread. But see, had he used the power of divinity, he could not have fulfilled his ministry as a servant of the Lord, as a man yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I try to remind people, well, many false Christians and stupid Christians, ignorant people, well, Jesus did that because he was God. No, he didn't. If he did, the gospel's false, and he's false. He did every miracle at every sign by the power of the Holy Spirit as a man yielded to the divine nature. He did not do it as God alone. He would have defeated God's purpose. And therefore, when he died and gave up his life as a perfect sacrifice, because he never sinned and never disobeyed the Father, he said, Father, before he left, restore to me the glory which I had with you before the world was. What was that glory? The full Godhead. That's what he was asking for, because he didn't have it at that moment. He had the potential. He could have drawn on it in disobedience, but he did not. He emptied himself of the power of the divine nature and served God as a prophet, as a teacher, as a man, and fulfilled God's purposes, therefore making him the perfect sacrifice with no sin before the Father, okay? So those who deny this, that he died, that he resurrected, and he ascended to full Godhead again, they are of the Antichrist spirit. This is an Antichrist, it says, the false teacher who denies the Father and the Son. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, many people will think, oh, did Jews and others, they accept Jehovah the Father, so they have the Father. But you cannot have one without the other. If you have the Father, you have to recognize the Son, because he was in the Son, and the Son was one with him. And the Son comes with the Father to indwell the believer, the Godhead. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the very Godhead does this. So those who try to accept the Almighty, many people do that. They don't mention Jesus, the Almighty. They don't have the Almighty. The Almighty will cast them into hell through Jesus Christ, is what he's going to do to them. Been many, I studied the history of the early forefathers of America, and they were very moral people. And one of the most moral one who became a president, he was very sound and everything, but he had one problem, he said, with Christian teaching. He did not believe that Jesus was of the divine nature. Well, he's in hell now. And yet, works-wise and outward, he was a good example of an excellent citizen. But see, he couldn't acknowledge because he wasn't a true Christian. See? He had no revelation who of Jesus was. To deny the Son is to be cursed of the Father. So Jesus was and is the incarnation of divine nature. The Apostle John expresses clearly this doctrine of the incarnation, as the other apostles and their teachings do the same. Paul uses the term more than anybody to be in Christ and Christ in us. That can only be done by him being divine nature. When Jesus was on the earth and before he left, he told the disciples, I am with you, but I shall be in you. He wasn't in them. See, he was in his humanity. The restrained Godhead could not do this. He said, when I am glorified, when he returned to the Father and the full Godhead was restored to him, then he came with the Spirit as the Spirit and entered those who are being born again. And so therefore, when Paul always says to be in Christ, this Christ is the divine nature. The bodily Jesus stands before the Father, but he's still of the Godhead. He never appears to people in his bodily form, not since the resurrection. But he is the Holy Spirit. He is one with the Father. So he can appear as he did to Paul. People try to make Paul the replacement for Judas because they're ignorant and don't know Scripture. Of course, there's a lot of lying Calvinistic people do that to make Paul superior than the other apostles, which he was not. He was not one of the foundation layers. Jesus himself said, go and submit yourself to the 12. And Paul said, unless I did this, I would have taught and preached and done ministry in vain without their approval. So he did not consider himself above them. He knew he had the knowledge they had, and they didn't have to teach him anything. But he was not of the foundation. He did not live and walk with the bodily Jesus. They did. And therefore, they had to be witnesses to that fact. And as we said, at the time he wrote, he was given more revelation for the people, for the body of Christ, for the Gentiles, than the others were given. But 20 and 25 years after he's dead, the Apostle John is given far more revelation than Paul had. The book of Revelation alone proved that. So people grab one or two scriptures, that's what false teachers do, and try to build the church on it. That's why they're deceived. That's why they're not sound in doctrine. Okay, doctrine is teaching. So in verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father. That alone tells us you cannot have the Father without having the Son. You can have the Son and have the Father. See, because he is, Father is in him. He is the mediator. He is the one who's done everything for the sinner that makes it capable for God in his holiness and justice to receive us. See, that's why he sent his Son. To accomplish these persons. That's why Jesus can say, I am the door. The door to what? To eternal life. To the Father. I am the door to him. There's no other way. I am the ambassador. You do not come to my king, but through me. See, he's letting them know that. As he said later, if you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? One who denies this nature of the Son does not and cannot have the Father. Let's take a break here.